Welcome back to the deep dive. Usually when we sit down to talk about tech, we are looking at stuff that makes life just a little bit easier for you.
Right, like a faster phone or a smarter coffee maker.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe an app that tracks your sleep or something. It is all about convenience. But today we are pivoting hard. We are looking at a corner of the tech world where convenience really takes a back seat to something much, much heavier.
Yeah, we aren't talking about losing your keys or finding your parked car today. We are talking about safety, and not just wear a helmet safety.
Right.
We are talking about life and death scenarios for some of the most vulnerable people in our society.
Exactly. We are diving into the world of GPS tracking for children with autism and developmental disabilities. And to guide us, we have got a really interesting document on the table today.
It's quite a read.
It is. It is a comparison breakdown updated in August 2025 titled AngelSense versus GeoBit Best GPS Tracker for Autistic Children.
And right off the bat, I mean, we should set the stage here for you guys listening.
Huh.
This document comes directly from AngelSense.
Yep.
So naturally, it is framing the conversation entirely from their perspective. But what makes this deep dive so valuable isn't just seeing which gadget wins the feature war.
No, it is about understanding two completely different philosophies on how to keep a child safe.
Exactly.
That is the hook for me, really. It is not just spec sheet A versus spec sheet B. It is a battle of ideologies. On one side, you have GeoBit, and on the other, AngelSense. And the central tension the source material highlights is this idea of do special needs require special hardware?
Or is a really good general purpose tracker enough?
Right. That is the multi-million dollar question. And for parents of children who wander what clinicians call elopement, the answer really determines whether they sleep at night or not.
It's high stakes.
So let us get into it. The source kicks things off by defining the contenders, and they put GeoBit in a very specific box. They call it a general purpose GPS tracker.
Right. And general purpose sounds harmless, right?
It sounds versatile.
It does. But in this context, the source is using it to draw a sharp line. They are saying GeoBit is designed to track things, or pets, or maybe a neurotypical kid who just needs a little oversight while playing in the neighborhood.
A mass market product.
Exactly. It's built for the mass market.
Whereas AngelSense labels itself as assistive technology. Now, I will be honest, when I first read that, I thought, okay, is this just marketing speak to justify a higher price point?
It is a fair skepticism, for sure.
Yeah.
But assistive technology is actually a pretty heavy designation.
Oh, so.
Well, it implies a device was built from the ground up for a specific demographic with specific disabilities. It is not a luggage tracker that has been adapted for a child.
Right.
It's a safety device engineered for a child who might be nonverbal,
Yeah.
who might have sensory issues, or who might not understand danger at all.
The source actually mentions that AngelSense is used and trusted by sheriffs and police departments and special education professionals. That feels like a significant credential.
Oh, it is. You don't see police departments handing out AirTags or Tile trackers as part of an official safety protocol.
True.
When law enforcement gets involved, it signals that this is viewed as a tool for professional safety intervention. It moves the conversation away from consumer electronics and into medical necessity.
So we have got general purpose versus specialized assistive tech. Let's see how that philosophy actually plays out in the features. And we have to start with the big one,
The voice difference.
the voice difference. This is arguably the single biggest technical differentiator in the document.
Without a doubt.
According to the breakdown, AngelSense has two-way voice communication with a built-in speakerphone. GeoBit zero.
No voice at all.
Just silence.
Complete silence. And the source argues that for this specific population, that silence is a critical failure point.
But let us unpack the AngelSense voice feature because it is not just a phone, right? I mean, my smartphone has two-way voice. What makes this assistive?
It is the auto pickup feature. This is crucial. Imagine a scenario where a child with severe autism is overwhelmed. Maybe they have wandered into a busy street, or they are hiding in a panic. They might be in a state of total sensory overload.
Right. So expecting them to hear a ringtone, understand what it means, and physically press a talk button.
That is asking a lot.
It's asking the impossible in that moment.
Exactly. The auto pickup allows the parent to open the line automatically. The child doesn't have to do a thing.
That sounds intense, though. Like you call and boom, you are listening.
It is. And the source outlines exactly why that matters. First, you can just listen in. You can hear the environment.
Just checking the surroundings.
Right. Is it quiet? Do you hear the hum of a classroom? or do you hear wind and highway traffic?
Wow. So that audio context tells you immediately if the child is safe or in danger.
It's actionable data before you even look at the map.
That is incredible.
And secondly, you can speak to the child. You can use your voice, the voice they trust, to de-escalate a meltdown. Mm. You can tell them to stop walking.
But there is a third use case the source highlights that really struck me. Speaking to bystanders.
Yes. This is the aha moment for the assistive tech argument, really. Let's say your child has eloped. They are found by a stranger, maybe a police officer, maybe a shopper in a mall.
Right.
But the child is nonverbal. They can't say their name. They can't say where they live. They are terrified.
And the stranger have absolutely no idea what is going on.
Exactly. But then a voice comes from the device on the child's belt. Hi, my name is Sarah. This is my son. He has autism and he is nonverbal. Please stay with him. I am tracking him, and I will be there in 5 minutes.
Wow. You are effectively advocating for your child remotely.
You are bridging that communication gap entirely. You are managing the emergency from miles away.
And the source contrasts this sharply with GeoBit.
Very sharply. If a child with a GeoBit is lost and nonverbal, the parent sees a dot on a map.
That's it.
That is it. They can't hear what is happening, they can't comfort the child, and they can't instruct a rescuer.
It really creates a picture of passive tracking versus active intervention.
That is the perfect way to frame it.
Okay, let's move to the next layer of safety, which is monitoring. Most of us are familiar with geofencing. I set a circle around my house, and if the device leaves the circle, I get a ping.
Simple enough.
The source says GeoBit relies on the standard manual geofencing.
Right, and on the surface, that sounds fine. But the source argues it creates a burden of vigilance for the parent.
Burden of vigilance? That sounds exhausting.
It really is. Because with standard geofencing, you kind of have to predict the future. You have to set up every possible safe zone manually. Home, school, grandma's house, the therapy center.
Okay, but what about the in-between spaces?
Like the bus ride or walking between classes.
Yeah, exactly.
If the child wanders off before they get to the safe zone or if they leave school at an unexpected time, say 10 in the morning instead of 3 in the afternoon, standard geofencing often fails.
Because it's only looking for boundaries.
Right. Unless you have a specific rule set up for don't leave school at 10 a.m., the system assumes everything is fine because it's just looking for enter and exit events at those specific circles.
So how does AngelSense handle this differently? They mentioned patented AI technology in the document. Is that just buzzwords?
In this case, it seems to be functional. The AI is designed to learn the child's routine automatically. It builds a pattern of life.
So it watches and learns.
It observes. It figures out, okay, every day at 8 a.m. we go from home to school. We stay there until 3 p.m. Then we go home.
So it establishes a baseline of normal behavior without you programming a single thing.
You don't lift a finger.
So if the bus takes a left turn instead of a right turn?
That is an anomaly. Alert.
Or if the child walks out of the school building at noon?
Anomaly. Alert. The AI spots the unusual changes. That is the exact term they use in the source. Unusual changes.
It shifts the cognitive load from the parent to the machine.
It does.
That seems huge for special needs parents. I mean, they are already managing IEPs, therapy appointments, medications. Having to constantly reprogram a tracker seems like one more straw on the camel's back.
That is exactly the argument AngelSense makes. The technology should be the safety net, not the parent.
The parent shouldn't have to stare at the app all day to make sure the dot is where it was supposed to be.
No. The AI does the staring for you.
So we have got voicemail, we've got AI monitoring, but let's talk about the nightmare scenario. The child is missing, the AI has alerted you, the panic sets in, you need to find them right now.
The emergency toolkit.
The emergency toolkit. That is what the source calls this section.
And this is where we really have to get real about the limitations of GPS technology.
Wait, hold on. We all use Google Maps every day. Isn't GPS pinpoint accurate?
Outdoors under a clear sky, sure. But inside a sprawling high school, in a shopping mall, in a concrete parking garage,
the
GPS struggles hard. Signals bounce off walls. You get what is called drift.
Drift. So the dot might show the child is in the parking lot when they're actually inside the food court.
Exactly.
That sounds terrifying if you were trying to find a lost kid. Minutes matter.
Seconds matter. And the source points out that AngelSense includes a suite of tools specifically designed to bridge that GPS gap. GeoBit, they claim, lacks these specific intervention tools.
Walk us through the toolkit. What do they actually have?
First, there is on-demand live location sharing.
How is that different from just handing your phone to a cop?
Well, imagine you were at work and your child elopes from school. You call 911 You cannot physically show them your phone.
Good point.
With AngelSense, you can generate a temporary live link and text it to the police dispatcher or the school principal.
And they do not need the app installed.
No app, no login, no passwords. They click the link and boom, they see the live tracking on their own device. It democratizes the search data instantly.
That is smart. It removes the friction when adrenaline is running high. What else?
The remote ringtone. This is kind of similar to Find My iPhone, but for a person.
Okay, sounds simple enough.
Simple but critical. Often children with autism might hide when they are scared.
Why?
They might curl up under a rack of clothes in a store or hide in a bush. GPS says you are here, but you can't see them. You activate the alarm and you find them by sound.
But the one feature that really caught my eye in the source notes was the nearby Wi-Fi list. That sounded like some serious hacker tech.
It is incredibly clever engineering. So we know GPS fails indoors, right?
Mm.
But buildings are full of Wi-Fi routers.
Right. But the tracker isn't connected to those secure networks, surely.
No, it doesn't need to connect at all. It just needs to sniff the air. It scans for the names of the Wi-Fi networks nearby the SSIDs.
Okay, so how does that help you find someone?
Imagine the GPS just says you are at the mall. Vague, right?
Very vague.
But the AngelSense app tells you, I am detecting Starbucks guest Wi-Fi and Gap employee net at strong signal strength.
Oh, it anchors you to a physical landmark.
Exactly. You know, to run to the Starbucks or the Gap, it triangulates the location using the invisible landscape of the building itself.
And the source emphasizes that GeoBit offers none of these search-specific tools.
Right. They give you the location, and the rest is on you.
It seems like AngelSense has really thought through the last mile of the search. It is not just about knowing which city they are in. It's about knowing which room they are in.
That is the difference between data and actionable intelligence.
All right, I want to pivot to a topic that usually gets people riled up in tech reviews. Battery life.
Oh, yes. The trade-off.
Usually the golden rule of tech is more battery equals better. If a watch lasts 2 weeks, it is vastly superior to one that lasts a single day.
That is the standard logic.
But the source material makes a really counterintuitive argument here. They basically say our battery life is shorter, and that makes us safer.
It sounds like pure spin when you first hear it, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's not a bug, it's a feature.
Exactly. But when you look at the engineering logic, it actually holds up.
Explain the logic for us.
It really comes down to reliability versus longevity. To get a battery to last a week or 2 weeks, which GeoBit does, you have to aggressively manage power.
Meaning?
That means the device has to sleep. It reduces how often it talks to the satellites and the cell towers.
So it is checking in less frequently to save juice.
Right. It might only update every few minutes, or it might wait until it detects significant movement. But AngelSense argues that for safety, you cannot have a sleeping device.
You need a constant stream.
They use the full battery capacity in roughly 24 hours to maintain a constant high-frequency connection.
So they are burning fuel to keep the data real-time.
Exactly. They are prioritizing the integrity of the track over the convenience of not charging. But there is another layer to this argument that I found really fascinating. It's behavioral.
The charging habit.
Yes. Think about your smartphone. You charge it every night, right?
At the reflex.
You don't even think about it. You plug it in, you wake up, it is at 100%.
True.
Now think about a device that lasts 5 or 6 days. You don't have a daily routine for that. You might forget when you last charged it. You might assume on Thursday morning, oh, it's probably fine, send the kid to school, and then realize at 2 in the afternoon that it completely died.
I do that with my e-reader all the time. I pick it up and it is completely dead because I haven't charged it in 3 weeks.
Exactly. And the source argues that for a safety device, that ambiguity is dangerous. By forcing a nightly charging routine, they ensure the device leaves the house every single morning with a full tank.
It is designing for human nature. We are creatures of habit, and irregular schedules make us sloppy.
It is a philosophy of optimized for safety versus optimized for convenience. They are betting that parents would rather have the hassle of daily charging than the risk of a dead battery during an actual emergency.
We have covered the hardware, the software, the battery, but there is one last component the source highlights, and honestly, it is the one that feels the most personal out of everything. Segment 6. The human element.
This is where the company really stops talking about specs and starts talking about community. They discuss the AngelSense customer care team.
Now, usually tech support is a nightmare. You get a generic agent reading a script. Have you tried turning it off and on again?
Right. We've all been there. But the source claims that the AngelSense support team is entirely comprised of parents of children with special needs who actually use the product.
That is a wildly specific hiring requirement.
It is. But think about the value of that. If you're calling support, you might be in a literal crisis. Or maybe you were just frustrated because your child is refusing to wear the device and you need practical advice on how to attach it to clothing securely.
You don't want to have to explain to a stranger what sensory processing disorder is while you are panicking.
Exactly. You want someone who speaks the language, someone who understands the deep fear of elopement.
The source argues that this creates a level of empathy that a generic support agent at GeoBits simply cannot match. They understand the fears, the daily challenges, and the small victories.
It is technical support, but it is also peer support.
It reinforces the idea that this isn't just a gadget, it is a specialized ecosystem.
A lifeline, really.
So let us zoom out. We have gone deep into the weeds here. We have looked at the voice features, the AI, the search tools, even the battery philosophy. When you look at this comparison document as a whole, what is the big picture narrative?
The narrative is that best effort tracking isn't enough.
Right.
AngelSense is arguing that general purpose trackers like GeoBit are fine for tracking a suitcase or a dog, but they have critical gaps. No voice manual geofencing sleep modes that make them totally unsuitable for a vulnerable child.
It is a stark presentation. They are basically saying GeoBit gives you a dot on a map, we give you a safety net.
And that safety net comes at a cost. Financial cost. The cost of daily charging, the cost of a slightly bulkier device. But the argument is that the sheer stakes justify the trade-off.
It brings us back to that central tension we started with. Safety versus convenience. AngelSense is saying we aren't trying to be the most convenient tracker. We're trying to be the safest.
And for their target audience, that is usually the only metric that matters.
Before we wrap up, I want to leave you, the listener, with a thought that kind of stuck with me while I was reading through this material. It is about the definition of independence.
Go on.
Well, usually when we talk about tracking and listening in, we use words like surveillance, big brother.
Sure.
It feels restrictive. It feels like a leash.
It absolutely is a digital leash.
But the source and the philosophy behind this assistive tech suggests that this heavy surveillance actually empowers independence. It is a total paradox.
It is the invisible guardrail theory.
Right. If a parent knows they can hear their child instantly, find them within inches and talk to them, if they panic, maybe they let that child ride the school bus. Maybe they let them go on the field trip.
Whereas without that safety net, the anxiety is simply too high.
The parent keeps the child home. They hold their hand everywhere. The world shrinks.
Exactly. The leash is actually what allows them to be free.
It is a profound shift in perspective. It reframes the technology from a tool of control to a tool of capacity. It allows the child to experience the world, to have those small victories, because the parent's anxiety is managed by the device.
It turns the tracker into a bridge to the outside world.
Beautifully said. Well, that is a lot to think about. Whether you are a parent navigating the complex world of special needs or just someone interested in how design choices impact real lives, this battle between AngelSense and GeoBit shows that when the stakes are high, the details like voice AI and who picks up the phone matter immensely.
They certainly do.
That is all the time we have for today's deep dive. We hope this gave you a clearer picture of the landscape. Thanks for listening.
Stay curious.